with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And from the epistle for this Sunday, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 3rd through the 9th verses, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." I doubt that anyone would question the fact that we live in very troubled times. It seems that wherever we look, we find terrible conflict, not only in distant lands, but also here at home. But I ask you, who can doubt that so much of this mayhem is grounded in a bottomless pit of anger and despair, and life seems to have become very cheap indeed? But none of this is new. The Old Testament lesson read on this Lord's Day shows that this has been true from the very beginning of the human story. The firstborn child of the mother of us all becomes a murderer, guilty of the terrible sin of fratricide. He kills his little brother. And when the Lord asks him, "Where is your brother Abel?" he says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" But that is not only the reply of the first murderer, but of all the offspring of Adam. For in one way or another, all of us descendants of Adam have kept on asking, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Some of us do that in a rather refined and delicate way, and some in a way just like Cain. St. John puts it so clearly, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." How easy it is to be consumed with hatred and bitterness. And all the mayhem we see at home and abroad is the rotten fruit of that kind of hatred and bitterness. And let me say it again, so much of this terrible mayhem is grounded in a bottomless pit of anger and despair. Despair. The medicine for that anger and despair is the joyful news that Christ is risen. And that means that everything is changed. As Christians, we know that the wages of sin is death. But we also are taught in Holy Scripture that it is, in fact, the specter of death which drives us to sin. For if this life is all there is, then human beings find themselves driven to get all you can while the getting's good. And that so easily and predictably leads to merciless grasping, in which the needs and wants and concerns of others are trampled on, in the worst cases, resulting in the destruction of human life. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but death also drives us to sin. And the good news is that from this bondage, the risen Lord Jesus has freed us, as we read in the words of the letter to the Hebrews. Christ has delivered those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. It was T.S. Eliot who said, "The communication of the dead is tongued with fire beyond the language of the living." The communication of the dead is tongued with fire beyond the language of the living. I love some words of the late Gregory Dix, who has been gone from us in this world now for 70 years. And this is what he had to say. "Human beings are not made to be as gods, a competing horde of rivals to the living God. We are his creatures, fallen and redeemed, his dear recovered children, who by his free love are made partakers of the divine nature. But our obedience and our salvation are not of ourselves. Even while we are mysteriously free to disobey and damn ourselves, we are dependent on him even for our dependence. We are accepted in him by the real sacrifice and acceptance of his body and blood." In the words of the familiar hymn, "Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries." Christ our Lord is the perfect image of the invisible God. Through him we know God to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No solitary being, but eternal communion, sharing in love among the three persons of the one God. God's very being is communion, sharing, love. God is one, but not solitary. And because God made us in his image, the image of the triune God, we can't shut ourselves up in splendid isolation, in effect saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" As human beings, we are made in the image of the three-person God. That image was lost in the fall of our first parents. That image is restored in Christ. And as those who through holy baptism belong to Christ, we are called to a life of sharing, of generous sharing. This present life can be understood as a school of love, in which, however slowly, however falteringly, we are called to take our first baby steps in that sharing life which is the communion of saints here and hereafter. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.